Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes.
Welcome back to another episode of the Midgar Minute Podcast. I am Chris, joined as always by my lovely and faithful co-host, Nick. Nick, how you doing on this fine evening?
I am doing pretty damn good, dude, and we've got some fun stuff to talk about. Honestly,
yeah.
Feeling in a very good way, overwhelmed by all the FF7 we have to cover.
Oh, yes. There's been, you know, in traditional Midgar Minute fashion, we've had the worst timing ever, and we recorded the previous episode, literally right before, I think that was the week before TGS happened.
Yep.
So we had that first initial trailer from the State of Play that we were talking about, and then of course they release a metric butt ton of information after that, which we are going to try and cover most of, if not all of it today. But first, I would like to give a very special thanks and shout out to our lovely folks over at the Mosey Gang, who is the name for our little community that we've garnered over here that we are very lucky to have and very thankful for them. And I just want to give a special shout out to Scott, Kyle, AJ, Danny, Kevin, Jillian, Brienne, Matt, Sam, Charlotte, Cameron, Garrett, Dan M, Ryan, Petros, Matt M, Tyos 48, Colton, Tone, Kimmy, Chris G, John, Flynn, Jim, Joey, Trey, and Carmen. And as always, a very special thanks to Carmen for providing the intro and outro music for us.
Yeah.
Capstone Audio over on YouTube. Go check him out and tell him the Midgar Minute sent ya. And if you, dear listener, would like to be included on that list of people and get access to our Discord, where we have been talking a lot about all the FF7 Rebirth stuff that has been coming out, and have plans, and I'm hoping by saying this on here and putting it on the record that it holds me accountable for this. I want to do a Discord stream from a playthrough of Remake before Rebirth comes out. So if that sounds like something, not sure if we're going to keep it in the Discord, or maybe we might just stream it on Twitch. Not decided yet, but we'll figure it out when we get there. But if that sounds interesting to you, and we also do other stuff. We normally do meetups and, game nights, things like that. It's been a little bit difficult to do that lately, but, we hope to kind of maybe fix that a little bit in the upcoming months here. So, if that sounds interesting to you, there's links in the episode description and in our social medias. You can give us $1 a month, or you can just give us $1 one time, and you're in there for good. So
for life.
No pressure. And then of course, if you don't feel like giving anything and you're just here listening, that's fine too. We appreciate you.
We still appreciate you.
But with that being said, I guess we should get in on this stuff, and I don't even know where to begin, honestly.
Let's start small. I think we could start small but fun. And for me, I think we should talk a little bit about that piano minigame that they went so hard on, which they didn't need to do.
They absolutely didn't need to do it.
No, I'm someone who, like, the origins of me falling in love with gaming are those N64 Zelda titles, where, like, even though they made music part of the gameplay, it was kind of fun once you knew how the instruments worked to just pull them up and just, like, play whatever you wanted.
Honestly, that was kind of the first thing I was thinking of, because we haven't really had that. Like, Ghost of Tsushima kind of had a, you know, you're playing the flute, I think it's
but flute. With very limited control.
Yeah, but it's more just like, you know, kind of like a little bit like that game Trombone Champ, but it's not nearly as funny. But yeah, you're just kind of guiding, you're using the touchpad to, like, guide the thing across a very, you know, predetermined path, and there's not really any room to, like, freestyle with it. It's just like, oh, you can pull it out and you're just automatically playing a song with it. And it's like, yeah, I kind of miss games having those little bits of interactivity, you know, because you don't really see, especially like music related stuff specifically, or instrument related. But I mean, I guess if you think about it, doesn't come up all that often. Like when you think about it, even, you know, you have rhythm games, but that's, you know, that's a bit different where that's just, that's the express purpose of the whole game. So I'm glad to see something like that return, and something that is, I was not expecting, alongside, the card game that,
let's go Triple Triad, not
Triple Triad.
Yeah. I know.
Legally distinct Triple Triad, even though they could have, imagine how fucking crazy it would have been if they just had Triple Triad in the game. And then honestly, they're just like,
they put it in FF14. They could have done it if they wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly it wouldn't have, I think it would have been a decent, little thing, but I feel like Final Fantasy VIII is going to get this treatment at some point in the future, so
a lot of maybe people they'll just seem save to it for that. So.
Obviously, I think if time is not a question, right? If time is no object, then, you know, all the games are going to get a remake at some point. But, I could see. I mean, 8, I still have yet to play 8, but I feel like it's up there in terms of, like, because, you know, there are certain games that people want to see remade, and I feel like 8, mm-hmm. it's like 8, 6, 9, and 10. So it's weird that it's like,
you know,
that,
it's primarily that, 8, because to me, 8 is the one that needs it. Like, 9 and 10 still really hold up. Mm-hmm. 6 still really holds up.
Yeah.
Like, 8's the one that, like,
it's the roughest
could really
one.
Use it. Yeah.
It's that weird, because they were still in that weird, like, middle point of, like, oh, we want to make it realistic, right? They want to have, like, a realistic sort of graphical style, but just the hardware
at
the time.
Well, they also
the
wanted to...
Wasn't
they made
really...
the junction system as a way to make grinding irrelevant, but it turns out that grinding is preferable to the junction system. It was a good try, in my opinion. I do like it because I do like the idea that, like, no matter what pace you take the game, the boss is never, like, out of scale, out of reach. You know, I do think that's cool. But there is also something pretty comforting about the idea of, like, hey, I can't beat this boss. Let me just go run around the wild and boost my numbers for a little bit.
Just beat up some animals and some wildlife and just
some demons and monsters, dude.
Yeah. But I mean, I didn't really look too much into what is it called? It's called Queen's Blood, I think, right? Or something like that. It's got a weird name.
Card game?
Yeah, the card game in Rebirth. Like, yeah, sorry. I was just trying to reel us back in there. But I'm not sure how invested in that I will be, and I'm sure it's going to be very much like Fort Condor. And I hope I have. Did they confirm if Fort Condor is coming back?
Fort Condor.
Because I haven't seen anywhere that it is coming back. So
I've not seen it.
I am a little bit concerned because I really ended up liking Fort Condor a lot in Integrate. Sorry. And it seemed like something that they could, especially with, I mean, you know, not to say that there aren't a crazy amount of mini games in this game already, but I feel like
an insane
maybe
amount.
When I saw the card game, I was like, oh, is that going to be the replacement for Fort Condor, maybe? But I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's there. Hopefully it's there, because I would love to play that and have it be, you know, since you're in a more expanded world, you know, there's going to be more people to play against. And, you know, I'm sure, depending on how deep this card game thing is, you know, it could just be something like, oh, hey, you just, you know, you can run up to any person and be like, hey, I want to play Fort Condor. Or Queen's Blood, or whatever.
Well, you know what I think would be cool? Not just, like, having people in towns you could play this game with. Because, again, they've pretty much all but confirmed that. You're basically going to run around this whole world to be able to play this game with plenty of NPCs. You know what I would really like? Online functionality. I want to play you.
Yeah.
Now, that might be asking too much. That might be asking too much, and I understand that.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, because if that's the same vibe that I got from Fort Condor, also, I'm like, man, it kind of makes me wish that they broke it off into its own thing. Like, that would have been a great mobile game. Like, making Fort Condor a mobile game would have been a perfect thing. Because I know a lot of people, and I guess, you know, Interstitiary Ever Crisis update. Have you been up to date on have you played any more?
I'm not fully up to date, but I'm getting towards the end of the first Soldier episodes.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten into the... They just recently released more First Soldier stuff with young baby Sephiroth in there.
Young Sephiroth!
And I have not gotten to the new stuff yet, but I did start the First Soldier stuff recently, and I love Glenn.
Glenn is awesome.
I fucking hope that it's him under that trench coat, because goddamn, I would love to see this character just exists in this world. Because he gives me very, he gives me Zack vibes in a way. Just he's kind of just like, you know, what the fuck is going on? Everything's great. Well, we'll just beat the shit out of him forever. I don't care. just kill all these monsters forever. I don't care if they keep coming. But
he's a gaming Chad.
I still have not spent any money. I think that'll be a part of our updates, our bi-monthly
updates.
I want
the audience to start taking bets. Who cracks first?
I want
them taking bets. Who cracks first and spends money on Ever Crisis first?
I would love to see what people would think, because, yeah, I've never spent a single dime on any mobile game that I've ever played. Which, I mean, I'm not going to show you my bank statements, but you just have to take my word for it. But, I would actually be interested to see what people would think, who they think would be the first one to crack. Ever Crisis, I get my Chocobo stuff every day, and that's kind of all I've been doing for the most part. Maybe we'll do, like, some of the daily quests or, you know, the experience stuff, but nothing too much really. But, anyways, back to Rebirth here. Four Condor, we don't know. We don't even know if Four Condor's in the game. So, Queen's Blood. I've confirmed it here is Queen's Blood. It depends. Yeah, I don't know what to think about it yet, because I don't really... When it comes to card games in games, it's very hit or miss for me personally. I've never actually played Triple Triad, so I don't really know. But I feel like when there are games like that, kind of, and almost, I would almost throw like a blitz ball into that as well, as something of like, you don't have to do it, but it's there, you know, and it has its own fucking crazy, you could do tournaments, all this crazy stuff. I usually don't end up engaging with that content a lot in games, like, unless it's really fun.
Depends how good it is.
Right, yeah, that's like Fort Condor, like, I was not expecting to like Fort Condor as much as I did, but, they actually... I wouldn't be surprised if, like, one guy was, like, really, you know, putting his all into that and to making that, like, way better than it ever needed to be, but, you know, and that's why I'm hoping that it does make a return, but I feel like maybe they don't need to, necessarily? Maybe, I don't know, maybe the third game will be, like, the ultimate.
We're
going to have everything from the first two games are going to be in that third game, you know, so maybe that'll be their, you know, and unless maybe we go to the actual Fort Condor, and then maybe they have like a theme park or something up there. You could play like, like a live action version of it or something. Who knows? You just give everybody, just like gummy swords, and just like, oh, there you go. Just got to walk very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, honestly, with all the other content that's going to be in here, it's not really, it didn't really
it's not even important,
register
it's
on
fun.
The radar for me, you know, it's something I'm like, oh, it's a cool thing, I guess, but, you know, that wasn't something I'm like, oh, dude, there's a fucking card game, you know, I'm not, I'm not going nuts, but, you know, compared to, like, the other games, the other mini games in, the Gold Saucer, which that stuff, oh man, even when I saw the fucking Moog, or Mog Moog, house, the little tree house, and I'm like, fuck man, is that gonna be, they're putting that back in there, I'm like, okay, that's great, and we did get to see a little bit more of, the gold saucer, but not too much. And I feel like there was also the there was a preview that people were, or certain influencers were able to play, of like a little bit of the flashback and a little bit of like Junon area stuff. I don't know. There wasn't really that much new information except for the fact that we sort of got a little bit of an explanation as to how the party system is going to work, and that you kind of have, you have like party loadouts essentially. So you can kind of swap between three different presets, I guess, if you want to say, outside of battle, obviously. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if it's inside battle. I think it might be only out of battle. But I think that's an interesting way to do it, especially since it is going to be like this more open world setting, right? So you can, you know, look on the horizon and be like, oh, there's some flying enemies over there. Let me switch, you know, to a party that has Barrett in it, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the best way to do it. I really want to know if you could do it in battle or not. But even if you can't, if most scenarios are going to be like that, where you're going to see the enemy coming and you can actually like prepare for it, you know. And like, I feel like even if it's like a boss battle, I feel like you generally are like, you know, there's a bench and a vending machine here. Usually means that there's something coming that I need to save the game for, you know. And replenish everything for. So I feel like, you know, I don't think there's going to be these situations where you're going to get into a fight and be like, oh, I should have brought this character, you know. Maybe, who knows, but it depends. If you can do it in battle, then everything I'm saying makes just disregard. But as we get a bit more hard confirmations on stuff, we'll see. And then I guess, speaking of fighting and gameplay, guess who's not gonna have any gameplay in this game?
Yes, I suppose we Vincent. Could break into that for a little bit.
Yes, Vincent has been confirmed, kind of like how I think I had said as much in the last episode, that I was afraid that it was gonna be like a Red 13 situation, and then that's basically the confirmation that we got, is that it's exactly that. So you know, I mean, I was fully kind of expecting it in a way. I would have been very surprised if there was going to be a playable Vincent in here, because even him being here is kind of crazy in itself. But I guess within the timeline of things, even though that's another thing too we could talk about, is that I don't know if we had talked about it before, but you know, they obviously were talking about how, you know, the events of Rebirth and, you know, the third game are going to follow closely to the events of the original, but they're not going to be in the same order necessarily. Correct. I don't know if we ever, like, called attention to that, or if that was ever, like, fully confirmed up until this. But that's interesting to me. So that means that we're not seeing Cid in this game. We're absolutely not seeing Cid. They're going to save Cid for the third game, you know, when we get the airship, and that's when we'll be able to travel around everywhere and do all that stuff.
Dude, I think you're right. I think it's right on the money.
Yeah, and another thing, that Maximilian, I was watching some of his videos about all this stuff, and he brought up a really interesting point, is that if this game is supposed to end in the Forgotten Capital, right, or the Forgotten City, then whatever's going to happen there is going to be so important that they don't want you to then go back out to the open world and go out and, you know, race chocobos or whatever, you know. Like, they like, there's, you know, we'll probably see him close to the end. This is going to be my bet, is that we'll see him close to the end, much like how it was with Red in Remake. You know, like, he'll be there. Maybe it'll be the thing of, like, he'll be there and he'll, you know, do stuff automatically. He'll just, like, you know, take pot shots from outside the fight or something. But then whatever happens at the finale of this game then will be, like, the definitive, you know, sort of endpoint. And obviously you'll be able to go back, I'm sure, and load your save before the final part or the finale, and then do all the extra stuff you want. But I feel like it's gonna be, I'm telling you, man, this game is gonna fuck us up. Like, the ending, whatever the ending of this game is, it's gonna fuck us up. I can feel it in my bones already. I can already, my eyes are already starting to well up. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no even real, like, if things play out exactly as they did in the original, like if Aerith does die and Sephiroth kills her, even if it's shot for shot the same, I'll still, you know, lose my goddamn mind. So if they plan on doing anything crazy,
I don't think it's going to be, based on the way they're building a lot of this up. Don't think it's going to be
either. I don't think it will be either, but I'm just saying if it was, I would still, it would still fuck me up. But yeah, I mean, I guess, and you know, it was funny, and you know, we had talked about this a little bit before we were recording, but you know, with all the information that was coming out, it did feel like a lot, and there was a lot of stuff, a lot of times when I was watching and like taking in all the information, and I'm like, is this too, I don't want to see all this, I don't want to watch all this. But you know, we do this podcast, so that's, you know, of course we're going to watch everything. But you brought up a really good point of like, oh, they've only shown us like, I don't know, 10% of the game.
Not even, because that's the thing. Everything that we're seeing is from Calm, Junon Harbor, and the Nibelheim prologue, which it's obviously looking like a prologue based on a lot of the stuff we saw.
Yeah,
especially more which, stuff by the way, from TGS. Yeah, go ahead.
Man, the some of the little bits of dialogue that you see from those the flashback sequences, and you're seeing Cloud act like Zack. Man,
I know, dude.
Man, it's cringy. It's really cringy, but in a good way. And it's like it's done really well. And
you see that something's wrong.
It feels like there's something, like, aside from knowing what's wrong, but you know, you're like, they did a really good job of being like, oh, this is, you're like a, you are literally a different person right now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy to now, like, oh yeah, we have, like, this is going to be the first time this is going to be, like, properly voice acted, you know, and actually done. And you're like, oh, like, right, we never actually saw any of this stuff. Like, I mean, we've seen it, but we didn't actually hear them ever talking during any of this stuff. And they're like, I'm like, man, fuck yeah. I cannot wait to play Sephiroth, by the way. He looks super fun.
He looks great.
And it sucks that he's only probably going to be playable during that sequence, and that's it. But I wonder, because I mean, I feel like they could easily do like a arena situation like they had in Remake, where you just go, you can go into the combat simulator or whatever, and you know, you could just, you know, fight battles. And I feel like that could be an interesting way of them reincorporating stuff, if, I mean, if we don't get to play as him during any other sections of the game, which we don't, maybe. Oh, who knows?
Never know.
That'd be fun. But yeah, we also got the hard confirm for Zack. It's not really a hard confirm necessarily that we're actually going to be playing as Zack for a good chunk of this game. But I mean, I guess maybe there was people that didn't know how much we were going to play as Zack. I mean, I guess that's still not necessarily, you know, how, we don't know how much we're going to be playing as him, but we will be playing as him for sure at some point in time, which is even a weird thing to be like, yeah, we confirmed that we're probably going to maybe definitely play as Zack at some point for some period of time. such like a non thing. But it's, you know, it's nice. And of course we've gotten no information, no extra information about any of the Zack stuff, which
good. You know, honestly, they've held it so long. I hope they hold it all the way.
I mean, to be honest, if there's anything that they should be playing close to the chest, it's that stuff. You know, you can, yeah, show us all the stuff we know, and then like give us, like, you know, like in that last trailer, it was like, hey, this is mostly stuff that you guys will know if you played the original, and you know, here's a little sprinkle of stuff you don't know. Which is, you know, exactly, that's, it's exactly how they should be doing it, and they have been doing it this whole time. So, I always find it hilarious every time I think about, like, yeah, like, every trailer that has come out for this game, Zack is in every single trailer, and they show you, like, a half a little bit more every time. They give you just a little bit more, just a little bit extra. And, like, this trailer obviously had the most in it, and, like, kind of was like, oh, right, well, you know, showing, easily, but it still showed us nothing. It's like, okay, we know Zack's in Midgar already, so it wasn't like, there wasn't, still wasn't any new information, which I think is absolutely hilarious. And that they could still do that, and we still know nothing, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll show you more of Zack. Wink, wink.
And they're not like, going to stop, dude. They're going to keep driving us nuts.
Yeah, and I it's very smart of them to do that. I absolutely agree. But I guess I'm trying to think. Oh, we didn't... Chocobo stuff. I fucking love that little chocobo. That little chocobo with the acorn for an ass.
Okay, can we talk about the fact... Can we talk about the fact that, like, they brought the Safari Zone from Pokemon to FF7? That you're essentially hunting chocobos? Basically, and it's like, oh, wow, like...
Basically.
Like, I'm all for it. We're hunting chocobos Safari Zone style.
I was really, really hoping that it was going to be, like, a mini game where you have to, like, break it, you know? Like, if anyone's ever played, like, Red Dead Redemption, you know, you could go up to a horse, and then you have to, you know, it's, like, galloping and stuff, and you got to, like, tame it so, you know, it'll let you ride it. And I was really hoping it was going to be something like that, but it was like, no, it's just, it's like a stealth mini game almost, you know, and just being like, oh, yeah, here's some Gashal Greens. There you go. Be my friend now. But I'm honestly, I'm very interested to see how far the Chocobo stuff goes. Because I know they were talking about, you know, you can get different pieces of gear and things like that that will change the stats and things. But obviously there's also like the color element, which I think was from the original Chocobo breeding, right, in OG.
Mm-hmm.
Where different colored chocobos have different, like, abilities, and it seems like that is still the case. I'm not entirely sure if it was, like, hard confirmed that it was that way, but at least with the trailer that we saw, that was, you know, like, we have certain chocobos that can climb up cliffs and some that can fly. So, I'm wondering if that is a color based thing. Gonna start the chocobo race war. if it's a color-based thing or if it's like a gear-based thing and you could just, you know, paint your chocobo however, whatever color you want, like in 15.
Well, but, I think it's cool that they showed up even more of these sort of like customization abilities you're going to have. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, everyone's chocobo is going to look a little different. It looks like they've got enough of those features to go around. And then, like, what I like about this kind of stuff too is like, this is going to be a great incentive for side quests. If you can get like the Bahamut Chocobo Barding gear by doing a certain quest, it's something people are going to do. It's a better incentive than, you know, 10 potions.
Yeah, and speaking of which, there's also this other thing that they've added to the combat where I don't remember. It's like a AI thing. Like you get like a robot lady that speaks to you, which I'm just going to guess that it's probably an invention of Chadley's, that he's like, oh, just stick this thing in your ear and, you know, she'll talk to you.
Chadmeister.
which I love his fucking, he's got literally, like you said, you made a reference to Pokemon. He looks like a fucking Pokemon trainer.
He does.
Fucking, I literally, when they first posted that screenshot of him, I think I posted in the Discord, like, oh, Pokemon trainer looking ass, Tekken custom character looking ass. it was so funny. But, you know, it's great. It's great to see Chadley. But anyways, yeah, there's this thing that it seems like any fight that you get into, there's going to be, like, sub-objectives for that specific fight. So you could just go up to, like, a group of enemies and then it's like, oh, like, defeat them in under 2 minutes, or, you know, use this attack on them, or something, you know. It's like little sub objectives for each fight And I like those sorts of things, and especially, I mean, if it doesn't necessarily seem like it's going to be necessary, but it's like if you want to get extra stuff, right? So it's not like, you know, if you want to grind in the game, which I'm sure there's going to be plenty of that, since we also got, obviously, the confirmation that nothing from Rebirth is, or from Remake is going to carry over to Rebirth, nope. Which I don't know. And if anyone out there was expecting that to be the case, I don't know why you would think that, but, you know, I've seen people ask those sorts of things before, so it's definitely, it's something that needed to be said, I guess. But yeah, I wonder. I wonder how much. I mean, it just seems like it's going to be like an extra little added incentive for grinding, you know, and be like not mm-hmm. just be like, oh, I'm just going to go fight, and you know, I've played other games that have had that sort of system before, where it's like, oh, you know, land this certain attack, or you know, something else, or stagger them before, you know, a certain thing, or attack them before they land a certain attack or something. And as long as the rewards that you get for that are good, you know, sure, fine. But I mm-hmm. feel like a lot of the times, at a certain point, you know, you get to a certain level where it's like, oh no, like none of this stuff is even. Oh, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? 200 gil for that? No. Like, no thanks. That's, you know, that's not worth the effort. But I feel like a lot of the times it is something more so in for the earlier game, early to mid game. And then, of course, when you get to end game stuff, you're probably going to be, you know, getting the craziest gear and, you know, being over leveled. Or at least that's usually, that's usually how my playthroughs go, because I love to be over leveled. Not by too much, but I like to, you know, I like to squeeze every bit of content out of a game when I'm playing through it the first time. And then if I'm playing it, you know, multiple times after that, that's just, you know, squeeze as much blood from the stone as possible. That sweet, sweet content. but yeah, I like that they have added something like that because of, you know, the difference in nature of just like how you're going to be getting into these fights, you know, whereas Remake mm-hmm. obviously was a lot more linear and all the, you know, combat points were predetermined, you know, basically. So now that you can have stuff and you can just kind of run around seemingly indefinitely and just keep fighting monsters over and over. Yeah, I think that's a good way to keep it interesting and keep it fun, you know?
At the very least.
But, yeah, I mean, I think maybe from... I'm trying to remember... I don't know if they showed off... I guess we got a little bit more information about the... like, the dual tech thing. And it seems like...
Oh, the Chadley Towers, you mean?
No, the, like, the team-up attacks.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yo, Chris, did I lose you?
And controlling them.
Oh, there you are.
Nope, I'm still here, sorry.
Okay, no, it's all good. On my end, you cut out for a bit there, but we're good.
Oh, good, okay. Well, yeah, we'll cut this out. Or keep it in. We'll keep it, who knows?
Keep it in.
Yeah, you know, this is, we're doing it live, but not really. yeah, but I can't wait to get into that stuff, man, because it looks so fun. And I mean, I do worry that it will lose its effectiveness in terms of like how cool it is the more you do it. But it seems as though everyone has one, or most party members have one, at least one mm-hmm. with each different combination of party members. So that's, you know, even that alone is, you know, a lot of variety there. And there are also ones that are not just strictly attack based. Which I didn't even really think about, but
dude,
there are ones
that
are more that. Like defensive and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, so you have, there's not just ones that, oh, you want to do a lot of damage. it's like, oh, there's probably ones where like, oh, you get a, you know, magic and physical wall or something, maybe Aerith related, you know, healing based stuff, you know. I think there's a lot of potential there. And especially if they carry that over into the full party, you know.
Yeah, and I like it because it again adds like a layer of strategy.
Exactly.
Which again, this is an action-based game, you know, it's not turn-based, but when you have things like mixing up the synergy attacks to where not everything is just about doing damage, you know, there could be something that's more defensive or evasive or even reflective, or even like something like buffing your party could be one of the synergy attacks.
Yeah.
That almost brings back the strategy of turn-based within the action interface, honestly, you know what I mean?
It reminds me a lot of, even in Remake, I still have not played my hardcore run in Remake, even after all these years, but from the people that I've talked to that have done it, there is that level of strategizing is
so,
really comes out for those, you know?
So,
and some of those tougher fights are crazy.
I was going to say, I would confirm only that it doesn't do it in the nature of making it feel more like an RPG, because the thing that brings out the strategy in FF7's hard mode is that you're limited. You can't use items anymore.
If you fuck up, you're dead,
Right, as opposed to this, which doesn't activate strategy through being limited, rather activates strategy through being expansive.
Right, right. Which, I would agree. But yeah, I like that sort of, you know, that's a good way to increase the, you know, your ability to use all the things, and just, and not necessarily just like the difficulty, but, you know, because there are certain games where, you know, if the combat is designed well enough, it's like, all right, you're never really going to be running out of ways to do stuff, right? Or feel like it's getting stale, ideally, at least. And I do feel like, as much as I do like Remake's combat, and I think it might still, I'd have to play it again. I mean, it's definitely a tie between that and 16 in terms of like action-based combat, but it did feel like at a certain, I know people had complained about 16's combat for feeling stale, which I feel like it's way more, not way more, but it's definitely more noticeable in 16 than it is in 7, because I feel like in Remake there is that level of strategy.
Party members.
Right. Right, and different party members, and, you know, I did feel like there were some parts of 7 Remake's combat that did feel stale to me at some points, but that feeling never really stayed around for too long, because it was satisfying, and I think you hit it right on the nail in the head there.
On the head, you got it.
with, you know, being to switch between people. Because it's like, I mean, if you imagine playing Remake and you only were able to play as Cloud, and how, like, and otherwise the combat is exactly the same as it is now, like, that would be crazy, you know? That would have been a bad idea, you know? Like playing Final Fantasy 15 at launch, you know? Which, that's what that immediately reminds me of. And, you know, I love 15, and I know that obviously now it's a much better game, and I still have yet to play like the actual best version of it. But I do like seeing the sort of progression from 15 to now, you know, through Remake and 16, and I know like different teams are working on it, or whatever. But it's still, as far as like action based, and I mean, I can't really necessarily speak to that much of like Kingdom Hearts, but I know, I mean, Kingdom Hearts is not really known necessarily for its combat, right?
I mean, it is.
Is it? Well, okay. Well, hold on.
Everything we are playing through Final Fantasy right now stems from them taking the risk from Kingdom Hearts.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I should clarify when I say what I mean by that. It's not like, I mean, because I've only played Kingdom Hearts 1, which is not the best, you know, it's not the best example, I'm sure, because I'm sure it did get more complex as the games went on, but I feel like it wasn't like, I don't know, how do I want to phrase it? I'm not saying that, like, Kingdom Hearts' combat, it's bad, but it's more simplistic, right? And I think
I would actually disagree.
No? Okay. Yeah, and hey, I have next to no knowledge of it, so I'm speaking from a place of mainly ignorance here, but just from what I've seen, I feel like Kingdom Hearts 3 had some crazy stuff in there from what I had seen. 3
and, and 2 Final Mix really did. Mm. Like, base Kingdom Hearts 2 had a lot of shit. Like, how do I put it? Base Kingdom Hearts 2 had pretty much the same amount of, like, depth to it as base FF15, which in 2006, that's fucking groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But in 2016, it's like, hey guys, you need some new tricks.
Yeah.
But, dude, yeah, 3 definitely adds a lot to it, because you basically have not just form changes, like, you can basically change classes with the different Keyblades that you have. Like, if you use the Pirates of the Caribbean Keyblade, you basically morph into a Dragoon, you know?
Mm. Okay.
Stuff, you know, stuff like that. The Monsters Inc. Right. Keyblade.
Yeah, okay.
You morph into a monk.
Yeah, that's okay. That's way more. That's already way more than I was expecting.
Yeah, it changes. Like, if your scope is Kingdom Hearts 1, you're 100% right.
Yes. I was going to say, I know I probably am saying something incredibly ignorant right now. And that's why I'm like, well, let me clarify what I'm trying to say here.
Well, that's why I'm here. I got that corner Squares catalog covered.
Hey, that's, as any good team out there, you know, we compensate for each other's lack of knowledge in certain areas. And for me, mainly it's Kingdom Hearts. that's the big one, for sure. Because I still, you know, maybe one day, I know we've talked about it before, I would love to do a thing on the Lodge of, like, trying to explain the lore to me.
That would be so funny. That would
and,
be
like,
so
trying
funny.
To trying to actually figure it out without even playing the games. You just trying to, like, you know, literally, like, Charlie whiteboard me and explain everything.
That could be very funny.
But, I am definitely excited to do another replay of Remake, because I have not played through the base game of Remake since the DLC came out, because I was like, it was always something that I wanted to do, and then, like, you know, there were other games coming out, and then we did have that drought for a while, and that was kind of in that period of, like, I wanted to do it then.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, I don't know when the next game's coming out, and, like, I wanted to do it earlier this year also, and I'm like, well, we do know that it's coming at some point, and I was like, is it going to come at the end of this year, is it the early next year, or, you know, now that we know, like, we're only, what, 6 months? Not even.
Wait. Yeah, not even.
5, 4? Math is hard. so is that, 4 months?
Not too bad.
Technically, thereabouts. it's weird, you know, when you're, it's like the end of the other month, and it's like, do you count the fullness of this month? And I don't know. Anyways.
You round up to whatever makes it feel closer.
Yeah, there you go. or in this case, whatever makes it feel shorter, because the more I see of this game, the more I'm like, man, I want to play it. And that's why I always was like, when I was watching stuff, I'm like, I'm like half
it
watching
hurts
it
that
because
I can't play this. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to retain any of this information, but I want to retain just enough information to talk about it, but not to remember it in 5 months, you know? So that when it does come out, I it's all fresh to me. And aside from, I'm sure we'll probably get, like I said, one more trailer probably in January, maybe in December, before it comes out, and that'll be the last one before the game comes out.
I think we get one more thick trailer, and then we're gonna get one of those, like, launch day trailers where, like, the day before it launches, they release something to hype you up.
Yeah, and then they put a massive spoiler in it.
The biggest spoiler you can imagine.
The biggest, like, spoiler, non-spoiler, like, you know, obviously, famously, the Remake launch trailer had the Barrett getting stabbed sequence in it.
I'll never forget texting you that day. I'll never forget seeing that trailer and being like, dude, what in the fuck was that?
What is this game?
I was like, what's going on?
Because up until that point, they were still playing it like, oh yeah, guys, it's your grandpa's FF7, all right.
There was one smoking gun, which was the whispers in that first trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the smoking gun of, like, hey, that wasn't there before.
Like, who are these? I mean, the first time I saw it, I'm like, this is very Kingdom Heartsy. They seemed very. I don't know. There's a certain, like, when you look at, like, perfect example, our cloaked figure in this trailer, the newest Rebirth trailer, that looks like a guy from fucking Kingdom
Organization
Hearts.
13.
Yeah, come, like, you can't, like, if it was just a regular black robe and like a hood, it wouldn't have done anything, but he has like, there's a little like pin or something on there.
Yes, it's the Nomura paintbrush.
It's a Nomuraism, exactly. Yeah, design philosophy for Nomura. So I'm like, that's not just your
belts,
that's not just
pins,
the hobo
zippers.
And I'm like, that's But then when they because I don't, did you watch the actual like the full presentation for the like
yes.
the TGS like showcase? So
yes.
when. That character showed up on screen, and I feel so bad for the translator that they had in the first half of the presentation, because he was really struggling, and I don't know what translating, like, I can't even imagine how stressful translating must be, like, live, but I'm pretty sure when that guy came up on the screen, they were just like, oh, it's, they almost, like, practically confirmed that it was a new character.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I made the worst take possible right off the back of watching the trailer of like, that's Sid. And then, no.
Nope.
Like, I watched, like, after, like, my third or fourth viewing of it, I made that call. And then maybe after, like, my seventh or eighth viewing of it, I'm like, I don't know, actually. I think that might have been one of the worst takes I've ever had. Because of how much I, like, it was actually focusing on the details of the robe, and I'm like, nah, that's, I don't think Sid would wear something
like Glenn.
That. It's Glenn! Yeah, it's like, I still, honestly, it's I think Glenn. I want to believe it's Glenn. I believe, we had somebody write to us on Instagram, I think it was, if you give me a second here, I might be able to pull him up, but they basically said that they thought that it was Genesis under the cloak, which, I mean,
I could see it, but it doesn't make sense to me, because here's the only way I would combat it, is that that scene is, like, correct me if I'm wrong, just a few months after the end of Crisis Core. I don't think Homeboy aged that much in a few months.
No,
that would be
still,
my only rebuttal to
he's
that.
He's still chilling in a... But, I mean, I guess if we... I mean, because we don't know, you know, if Genesis is coming back into all this, right? Is it going to be Genesis as he was during this moment in time? Or is it going to be like, is he going to be like Sephiroth, where he is like a Genesis out of time? You know,
I think, honestly, I think it would be a Genesis out of time.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that maybe, you know, and I mean, I the hooded figure had facial hair, so I'm feeling pretty confident that it's not, because I feel like Genesis is too pretty looking.
He's a clean boy. Yeah, he's a clean
that's
boy,
like,
100%.
It's like putting a beard on Sephiroth, you know? Like, no one has ever... I've never seen any fan art ever of Sephiroth where he has facial hair. Not even like a fake mustache.
All right.
And now the countdown to...
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, is there any... Are there any...
You know what? You know what would have this? Your fucking DeviantArt. Let's go. I just typed Sephiroth beard. Oh my god, no, it doesn't exist at all. It doesn't exist.
I'm telling you, man. I'm not
Dude,
crazy.
It doesn't exist.
I'm not crazy.
Okay, hold on. There's
He's
only,
too pretty.
No, I'm serious about this. There's only, there's
I mean,
only
we
one
can,
other
you know,
place
if,
it could exist. And that's Tumblr.
And you know, I'm you know, this is a very good opportunity for any artists out there. If you want to be a pioneer in the fan art space of Sephiroth, or any, honestly, any of the people who are not Barrett, basically, any of the dudes that are not Barrett, because Barrett is literally, I think, the only guy. Well, no, Barrett and Sid, they both have facial hair. And all the other guys do not.
And we have no fucking beards for Sephiroth?
Nope, or Cloud, or Zack. Or
I'm
or
blown
Genesis.
Away.
Angeal, even?
I'm blown away.
I mean, honestly, it, like, when I think about it, it makes perfect sense because Japan, and I don't think Japan has the same fascination with facial hair as the West does, you know, in terms of like attractiveness. So, you know, I feel like that might just be like a cultural thing, you know, of just like, oh, you know, some guy, you know, not that, you know, there aren't people that don't have beards, but I mean, you know, you don't see a lot of Japanese dudes with beards is all I'm saying.
Do you think at Japanese dudes ever have like penis envy, but just for beards on dudes beards? In the West?
Beard envy?
Like, you know, just I look mean, at dudes' beards and go like, God, they can go know, to work like
it's
that?
It's so... like, there has to be, right? There has to be, because, you know, people always, you know, joke about, like, you know, weeb culture in the West, right? And, like, there absolutely has
Otaku.
To be Japanese people that are obsessed with Western culture, right?
And beards, do you think he's a beard guy? Yeah. You think it's a guy like, God, I can't wait to retire so I can grow my
he's
beard?
He's just some guy in Japan who just really likes the Liver King, you know? And it's just like, he wants to be him. He just gets really swole and then he gets like a beard transplant. He's just eating fucking raw livers and shit. I mean, it's possible. I'm saying, man. Like, if
stranger
there's people...
Stranger people exist. Stranger yeah, like people it, than that exist.
If there's Western people that are obsessed with Eastern culture, that there has to be people the other way around. That has to be. There's no way. You know, I love the idea of, like, you know, just some Japanese guy, he wears a cowboy hat. You know, he's got cowboy boots with spurs on him, and he just, you know, walks around.
He listens to a lot of Tim McGraw.
He's got a piece of straw in his mouth, you know, like, it's like that stereotypical, because like apparently that version, that stereotype of like Southern Americans came from Japan or was popularized by them, at least.
I could see it because they're very good at like romanticizing and like yeah, accenting.
They're very
you
good
know
at stereotyping.
I mean? Like... Well, I mean, dude, if you're going to stereotype America,
I mean, hey,
like cowboys, probably the best you could do.
That is, yeah. I mean, yeah,
probably
considering
the kindest,
considering the rest of our history and culture as Americans, I think
our young
that's
history,
probably
our young history and culture.
Yeah, or yeah, you could yeah have us be. I was gonna say pilgrims, but no, not
yeah.
Not
I
the
like
pilgrims.
See you see. Don't you like cowboy better? Nah,
And then you're like, oh yeah, the founding fathers, and you're like,
we'll take the cowboy.
So you know, cowboys are nice, and you know, I mean. You know, just don't ever say "end Indians" after, and then you're good. You know, that's fine. That's you're good. Man, when did this turn into a culture podcast all of a sudden?
What do you mean? It's FF7. It's
yeah,
culture, baby.
It's the culture. FF7 is for the culture. Absolutely.
It's for the people.
Yeah, for the people. FF7 is for the people. I mean, honestly, if you think about it. It kind of is, you know, with the message that it's trying to convey, or at least what the OG's message was. God knows whatever the message is going to be now. It's like,
who knows,
don't,
dude?
Don't fuck with sexy time traveler men. I don't know. Don't, you know, and, you know, maybe don't stop buying plastic bags, I guess. Save the planet and buy your own bags. That'll be imagine if Sephiroth at the end he's like, I just want people to recycle more. That's all I want.
Sephiroth, what do we do about the underwater volcanoes though?
can I cut them? That's usually how I solve my problems, it's just by cutting them. Oh jeez. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, it would have been great if I took notes, so that I would know what we've already talked about, and if there was other things that I want to talk about that I'm gonna forget, because I always do, but
well,
I didn't. I'm trying to remember if there was anything that we, like, major stuff that we haven't covered.
Can we think of anything major? I mean, we did talk about some of the new combat stuff they showed off. Mm-hmm. We talked about some of the mini games that they showed us.
Oh.
Yep, here we go.
You know what? It's the easiest one to, and it's probably not much of a discussion, but the whole Kate Sith stuff.
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, that's so we got. Speaking of hard confirms, we got a hard confirmation that Kate Sith is the correct pronunciation. I cannot speak today, which I was. You know, honestly, like, I had made jokes and always, you know, was like, eh, it's Kate Sith, it's always going to be Kate Sith, whatever. But I knew that, you know, I knew Ket Shi was, like, an actual, you know, Scottish folklore creature that
based
off of. I was cultured. I was not like poor Maximilian, who had no idea about any of that and got absolutely destroyed on Twitter because of it. But no, I get it because, you know, Kate Sith has a Scottish accent, you know, and it's like clearly meant to be like a reference to that creature, right? So I get it why people are upset that it's not Ket Shi, but yeah, I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, it is nice to have some, like, actual, like, official statement on it, you know? Of, like, no, this is how it is. But, and I'm pretty sure, and I think a thing that I was not even aware of, but in Japanese, they say it Ket Shi. They say it like Ket Shi, mm-hmm. But it's the same thing of, like, is that more of, like a language thing, you know? Because it's like, you know, it's like you have Cloud and then Kuraudo, you know, and then they're not going to call him Kuraudo in English, you know, so you know, maybe it was something like that, but I don't know. It's, I did not expect the level of vitriol that came from it, to be honest. I didn't think people cared that much. I thought most people were of the opinion that I had that, like, no one really cared about Kate Sith, to be honest, or they just called him cat shit. Which I think is a good middle ground.
Yeah, I think we could all agree on that one.
I think that's a good middle ground. Just call him cat shit. You know, everyone's happy, and then you get a little chuckle as a extra gift. You know, there's no, you know, sociopolitical you know, problems with that. Everyone can laugh at cat shit. But you know, I think you know, it's fine. Kate Sith is fine. That's I've literally been saying Kate Sith since I first saw him in 1997.
Me
so
too.
It's not like a, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, and for the people that are worried, you know, or upset that it's not, you know, that it's, you know, being culturally insensitive, I guess, or whatever. I don't know if it's like racist. I don't know if I even can even say that word on here. It's always a weird to say, like, I don't think Spotify is going to flag us for that, but, yeah, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I'm not the kind of person that gets upset about those sorts of things, so, you know, I don't, and also I'm not a Scottish person, obviously, so I don't feel like I am in a position to really have much of an opinion on it, you know, but I think that some people, I mean, if you're caring about the whole Scottish thing and you're not Scottish, that's a problem. Maybe that, you know, you got to talk to somebody about that, but other than that, I don't really have much of an opinion, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I generally have no comment. I learned something interesting. Like, I didn't know that Ket Shi is from this Celtic language. It stems from this Celtic language, and that this language has a history of, you know, being outlawed, you know, in times past. Obviously, it's not the case anymore. But I think the reason why people are upset is, again, this is a language that is...
It's like, you know...
use among the population is diminishing. So there's an innate fear that these folklores and folktales like that of Ket Shi...
This part of this culture is being lost to time. It's being written over and smoothed over. Yeah. Like, I definitely... Like, that part I definitely understand, for sure. You know, and it's when all this stuff was happening, I wasn't quite sure what people were upset about. And I'm like, are people getting upset about a robot cat? Like, that's, and that's how I approached the situation at first, because I didn't know what the actual, and then I was seeing people say what you just said, and I'm like, oh, okay, like, I didn't, obviously didn't really think of it that way, because why, you know, I'm not Gaelic, so I don't know. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I'm, that's not part of my heritage, so, yeah, I wouldn't really know what to think about that, but, you know, I think overall it's inconsequential, you know, like, if anything, you know, people causing an uproar about it made it more, you know, brought more eyes to it, and more people like yourself, you said, you know, learned about it, and people who had no idea, and who people who thought it was just, you know, like Maximilian was thought it was just about, you know, a robot cat. People are freaking out about a robot cat for no reason. you know, so, you know, it was, I think it was a learning experience for everyone, or at least I would hope that it is. But I mean, is there ever a time when something like this happens on the internet and you're like, oh, everyone learned something here, didn't they? Spoiler, they didn't.
They never do.
And it will happen again. I can guarantee it. But yeah, I mean, that was, I think, aside from, there was other stuff, you know, other little clips of stuff that we see, you know, just like the, you know, from those, the gameplay that they showed us, and, you know, little things like, you know, them, you know, Tifa and Aerith being like, oh, Cloud looks like a chocobo.
It's really cute.
Yeah, and my favorite part about that clip that they shared on the social media was that Hip Hop the Chocobo was playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, baby. Yeah. It's back, baby, it's back. Oh, there's probably, actually, now I think about it, there's probably going to be way more Chocobo remixes in this game, I bet.
Yeah, probably one for every type of Chocobo.
Ooh, that's there's a lot of possibilities there. We can have some, I don't know if anyone's going to usurp Hip Hop the Chocobo, but I'm willing to see if there's gonna be anything else. But yeah, I mean, I think that is kinda everything. I mean, I'm sure there's probably stuff that we I think we got
Yeah, I think so.
We got most of it.
We got more to talk about, but I feel like we covered the things that we missed on the last episode. I feel like we got around to in this one.
Yeah, that was just like, oh, yeah, we want to talk about all this new information that came out, because that was, I love, you know, there's only one time in the history of this podcast that we had good timing. It was when we were covering Dirge of Cerberus and, you know, got introduced to Nero. And then the day after either we recorded it or uploaded it, the trailer for the Yuffie DLC came out and Nero was in there, and you're like, oh,
well, if
this trailer came out a week ago, I would have no idea who the fuck this guy was.
Who the fuck is that guy?
You should be like, who's this Sephiroth ripoff at the end, huh? Which, you know, I'm curious. I know we've talked about it before. I'm curious. I'm curious if there's going to be any Deep Ground stuff in this game.
Little bit. I think we get a little bit.
We get a little.
You can't just introduce Nero and do that to Sonon and not.
I would love in this game if they get Azul and Rosso. Like that Rosso. they like acquire them during this game, and that they all show up in the third game, maybe.
That could be part of what they mean, too, when they're like, hey, things are going to happen in different order. That could a lot of that be about Dirge.
And you know, I'm still thinking that Deep Ground's going to be, like, Zack's thing, you know? That, like, Zack's, that maybe that will be Zack's, you know, people. I mean, again, we still don't know how, like, this whole thing is working, aside from that, oh, this is a different timeline that Zack is in. At least, even though we're not even 100% certain on that yet, are we? Did they hard confirm
that? We don't know
that?
If it's a timeline. We know it's another world. Like, he's clearly somewhere else. It's just a matter of when, where, how.
Yeah, and it's gonna still keep me up every night, I think.
Yep.
until the game comes out, and then even then, because I guarantee, you know, we say all this stuff. Oh man, they're gonna answer so many things in Rebirth. There will be answers in Rebirth, but I guarantee there's gonna be 10 times as many questions
yep.
that they're going to save for the third game. So
yep.
That part, when I think about that sometimes, I'm like, oh man, I hope they give us like a satisfying amount in Rebirth so that we, you know, whatever. I mean, and to be fair, I mean, if you think about it, you know, the distance from Remake until Rebirth comes out, not that long, you know? 3 years? That's not that
bad. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know? And then we've only got like half a decade of FF7 left.
And if you take into account that the pandemic happened, like probably a good chunk into that development as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, that probably slowed them down quite a bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get the third game even sooner, depending on how big it is, because I feel like it's going to be the biggest one of them all. If what I'm thinking they're going to do happens, and it's just going to be like, we're putting it all in. We're putting it all in. And all this new stuff, we're putting in everything. You can go around all of Gaia. No load times.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, man. Hopefully. But I guess we have to wait until Rebirth at least to see. And that's another 5 months away.
Oh, it'll be here before we know it, dude.
I know. It's already October, and I, you know, this year just already kind of flown by already, so I totally am, I'm sure I'm saying this now, but I'll blink and then it'll be February and it'll be like, oh fuck.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I guess, aside from that, do you have anything else you want to add there or?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. I mean, the Chocobo stuff, I was going to say the Chocobo stuff, we kind of only glossed over, but I will say, like, based on the last two episodes, I'm really excited that, like, how do I put it? Here's how I'll put it.
That Red 13 is riding a chocobo?
That, of course. But that for so long, really since the Kingdom Hearts days, Square Enix's level design has just been the same. Like, the level design between FF10 and FF7 Remake is not very different at all.
No. It's very,
however,
yeah, linear, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, it's all on the one plane. But as they did in Kingdom Hearts 3, which they seem to be doing way more here in Rebirth, is now you're going to scale up.
Verticality and stuff, yeah.
Yes. And that's about time because, again,
dynamic.
If, and we've talked about this on the podcast, like if there's anything to criticize Remake about, it's the level design. A lot of it is repetitive. It's
all very samey, you know, yeah. Very kind of just like, oh, you're just going down this corridor and that's kind of it.
It's FF10.
You're in this building and it all looks the same, you know?
Yep.
Which, you know, and hey, like, I get it, and that's what, I'm still the most, even all after all the stuff that we saw, and, you know, we did get to see the world map and stuff like that, and it's very, it's big, it's definitely big, but, I'm still curious how it's gonna be all laid out, and, I mean, I'm not worried about it necessarily, because I feel like, I say this like every other episode, but I'm like, they've kind of proven themselves, and I feel like they'd have to try very hard at this point to fuck it up. So
the only thing I can see myself disliking is a story decision, but even that is like, you know, you're never going to agree with everything.
We can't even,
you know?
Yeah, and you can't even fully be that because it's like, oh, well, they maybe it's just build up to stuff that's in the third game. I mean, at the end, I mean, there's always, I mean, I think even from the very beginning, we had said, oh, well, you know, if by the end of the third game, if everything's ass and bad, you know, that'll be one thing. But I think we'll enjoy that journey to that point, regardless, you know, unless they really shit the bed at the end of Rebirth, which I don't foresee. Right. But
I don't see that.
I don't know. I'm there's not a lot of things in my life that I feel as sure and positive about, but this I can say for sure I am. And am I going to be a fool? Maybe. But maybe not. And maybe we're just all going to have a good time.
Maybe.
but yeah, I guess with that being said, I know that last episode we were going to talk about, we said that we were going to do like a theory episode, and we are still going to do that, and I know that there's people that have sent in theories, and I promise we're going to mention you guys.
We're going to sift through them.
Yeah, we're gonna give you guys your due. And then also, we do want to do a FF16, like an actual full-on review at some point. But and that was gonna be, that was in the plans too, but then that was before,
and all this happened.
That was before the trailer, and then TGS happened, and then of course here we are. So all that stuff kind of got pushed back a little bit. So hopefully, maybe that might be the next episode. Well, the review of 16 will probably be like a bonus episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the next episode will be the theory episode. Don't quote me on it yet, but unless nothing else happens. If something else happens in between now and the next time we record, maybe, but we'll see. But we'll get in there. And like I said, always, if you're listening and you want to, well, first of all, thank you for making it this far. And secondly, if you have anything you want to say and you're not part of the Discord, you can always reach out to us through email at themidgarminute@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram. I usually I'm not the best at answering stuff on there timely, but I do respond to people. If you do send us something, I will respond to you. Anything. If you got theories, if you have questions for us or anything, we'd love to hear from you guys. So that's it. I'll count us down for the outro. Okay.
Alrighty, I'm ready.
Alrighty. 3, 2, 1. Oh, ooh.